The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
You need more than 29 to beat the Dolphins?
You might.
Holy bleep.
I'm going to take the Bears to cover the number of 5, but I don't think they win the football game.
It's probably going to be more of a shootout than most people would expect.
Mostert, touchdown. And the Bears let that Miami offense go right through him on a long drive, 75 yards, 1 yard touchdown plunge. Tagovailoa has it to the end zone, touchdown. Tyreek Hill, we just told you he's only been targeted once in the red zone all year. He just caught one right there on a 3 yard touchdown reception. Flip it, baby. Miami battling wind. Oh, it's blocked. It was blocked on the play. Phillips got it. Picked up Van Ginkle, got it for the touchdown. Andrew Van Ginkle on the block punt by Phillips. Shell the block and go. Oh, he's got him. It's Hill. He's going to fly down the sideline and inside the 20.
How could you possibly have fun like this?
The ball at the left tackle, time for Fields. Now he'll accelerate to get the first down and break tackles, and he's off to the races. Oh, he got a terrific block down there by Mooney. He's in for 6. 61-yard touchdown run by the quarterback, Justin Fields.
I feel the need. The need for speed.
That's 4:23, it's 8:25, 3rd and 1. Here comes Fields, getting a block from Pettis, and that opens the door. And he's deep in Miami territory, out of bounds about the Dolphin 31. Fake, Fields on the fly, Fields to the 5. It'll be goal to go as he races his way to the 5. 1st and goal, the fake and a good one to the end zone, coming touchdown. His 2nd to all. 4 yard touchdown pass.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Messy pocket going deep in, looking for Claypool, broken up.
That's got to be.
And. There's no flag.
I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful.
To the Captain J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you for our Bears Monday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always, we appreciate you keeping the conversation going on Twitch, brought to you by DraftKings. The Bears lose to the Dolphins, capped by the score of 35-32. And boy, what an interesting game it was. Definitely a shootout offensively, but a sieve and a sponge defensively for the Chicago Bears. So it's, you got an interesting dichotomy from Soldier Field last night.
Chicago, pour yourself a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or some hot chocolate. Whatever it is that you want to relax with this morning to crank up your week. Because we have a quarterback. We have a freaking franchise quarterback. And don't tell me, oh, they couldn't pass the ball down the stretch. Stop yourself. They can't protect the kid, so they got to put him on the move. And with the game on the line, he hit a guy named Equanimeous Saint, not going to be here much longer, in the hands. Right in the hands for a first down. Dropped it. They cannot drop him straight back because they can't protect him. That's why they're not dropping him straight back. This kid's dynamic. This kid's in control of the locker room. He's got a ton of great qualities, and he's only going to get better. So guess what? That was a good day yesterday. A really good day. Would you rather they had slugged it out and lost 10-7? And boy, the defense looks good, but our offense is from 19-20. That kid's a dynamic playmaker. Welcome to the 21st century in Chicago.
Yeah, it was dynamic. It was productive. And I just really like what I saw from Justin Fields offensively. It was spectacular. 178 rushing yards, a record for quarterbacks in the regular season, along with 3 touchdowns. But the best stat for Justin Fields yesterday, Cap, 0 interceptions. That's the best stat line right there. Did not turn the ball over.
Correct.
That's the best stat that I saw, 95.4 quarterback rating. And so when I see Justin Fields out there, I think that what we saw against the Dolphins was the unleashing of Justin Fields. Not a guy just standing in the pocket waiting for Komet, waiting for Montgomery, waiting for Pettis or Harry to be open. It was an unleashing, saying, you know what? We're going to let Justin Fields cook. We're going to allow him to do what he does best, and that is run with the football and also be able to connect to receivers. But I liked that Justin Fields found those running lanes. There is so we're wondering about whether or not a young quarterback can read a defense, right? He read it enough to be able to see the running lanes, did he not?
He did.
So I will give him full credit for that. And just a game that was closer than I thought it would be, Cap, with it being 35-32. It was good to see Claypool out there. It was good to be able to see the offense working. I really like that. And so, yeah, the Bears did lose. There are no consolation prizes in the National Football League. But if the focus is Justin Fields and his development and his health, I think that was an A-plus for him.
I thought there were a lot of good things. Look, Matt Eberflus, I think, is really transparent. He gives good answers. He's not going to be, you know, funny guy at the press conference. That's not who he is. I think he's a really solid football coach trying to build a really good culture. They just need more talent. They just don't have it on the team right now. Did you see who they made inactive before the game?
Yes, I did.
His name is Velus Jones.
Yes, I did.
If you can't hang on the football, you can't return punts. If you can't catch deep passes that the kid hits you right in the hands on a bomb last week down the left side, the right sideline, you can't play receiver. Guess what? Take a seat. You're not playing.
That's called a healthy scratch in this country.
And I loved it. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, he will wake up and realize you got to be a whole lot better and start making plays and then give him another opportunity. He's a rookie. I thought the officiating yesterday was a joke.
It was. It really was.
And now there are, first of all, how was that not intentional grounding on Tua?
Well, there's no question that that was, but we got to get to the main event because there was 2 instances of pass interference that was just a head-scratcher for me.
Okay, so the Eddie Jackson one, it was ticky-tack, but I could accept the call.
Sure.
He did bump the receiver.
Yeah, that will happen against dynamic players. It's kind of like the NBA in that same way. The star player gets the call. The team that's the most aggressive gets the call. But Eddie Jackson, I just thought that it was ticky-tack. But in this National Football League I watch every Sunday, that call did not surprise me.
Correct. But if you're going to call that one, again, ticky-tack, but okay.
Yeah.
You're going to call that one. How do you not call the Chase Claypool getting mugged by 2 guys? The ball, Bears would have had the ball 1st and 10 at the 23. Already in field goal range, very makeable to tie the game and potentially win the football game.
Yes.
I don't understand. I still believe, maybe it's the coach in me, that officials are aware of how much time is left. I can't call that travel right there. It was close. I'm not going to. But if it was 11:22 of the first quarter, traveling.
Yes.
How do you not believe that he looked at the clock and went, oh, final drive. I can't take the game into my own hands. If it's a penalty, call the GD penalty.
Exactly right. You call everything else right? But you swallow the whistle in that situation.
That was pass interference.
But it makes me think that, once again, it's just about star calls, right? I mean, to me, Claypool, yes, he is a guy. He's a guy on this football team, new to the Bears. But no matter who's out there, if you're always calling pass interference, call pass interference in that situation too. You just think that there were just two guys draped on him that played strong, straight-up defense to make sure that Claypool didn't get the ball. Clearly that was pass interference. But this is just a microcosm of the issues in this league, though. The inconsistent call. We talk about this in baseball all the time with the inconsistent strike zone. Why can't you have one strike? So the same thing here with the officiating. You call everything. You help offenses every single NFL game. Whereas, you know, you get a pass interference, it only helps the offense. Same situation. The Bears should have been able to get a break there, but they did not. But it does come down to the last play. And there is St. Brown, an opportunity to extend the play. What happens? Drops the ball. That guy's cut today. Sorry. Out. Out. You put Velus Jones in that spot, and whether he's a wide receiver or special teams, you activate him against the Lions. But I've had enough of this. If you cut Smith Marsette, you can cut St. Brown. Enough of this.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, look, the Bears are going to lose their share of games, but just don't beat yourself. In that situation, Brown had an opportunity to catch that ball, and he did not. St. Brown's out today for me. Out.
The fact...
Cut.
You know, I live on social media like you. It's a necessary evil at times.
Sure.
But I'm reading people in our business.
Well, when they had to pass, they couldn't get it done.
He hit that kid right in the freaking fingers.
True.
Right in the hands.
Yep.
Catch the football.
Claypool had a few drops, too.
He did.
I mean, really, the passing game didn't look horrible. It was just, there's nobody to throw to.
Well, I mean, here's what's interesting, Shay. So, since mid-October, the average is 376 yards, 31 points over the past three games for the Bears. And they have been... great with scoring drives, 17 scoring drives the last three games. So the offense has been potent, but also we've been seeing a lot of drop passes. Here's the thing that we see. We see good offense, but also it's like a flashing red light of how inept the receiving core is. Dropping passes. We saw the Dallas game. Same thing with this one. This is why when we've been saying since July that this football team needs talent, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
Agreed.
Now, talented wide receivers are able to extend that play and maybe win the game yesterday. But St. Brown in a big spot, spotlight on him, drop the football. Out.
You're gone.
Enough. And I know what this is, Cap, but just I don't want to see it on my TV anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Agreed. But what I'm excited by, it's so much better the way it is now than looking at this team and going, all right, they sold out. They were really good defensively. They lost 13-9 in a slugfest.
Yeah.
That's not, you can't translate that to the future. This you can. If I said to you, we got our A.J. Brown, we got our Armstead or Orlando Brown or whoever is at left tackle, and we got some animal in the front seven stopping the run, like a young Akeem Hicks, sure, that type of guy. We don't have any of that.
Right.
So they're 3-6. Their talent says they should be 3-6. You know, I keep people tweeting it. They should be 5-4. They should be 6. Stop.
Didn't matter.
Stop. If you don't get a monsoon, you don't beat San Francisco. So it all, your record is what you are, what your record says you are.
Sure.
Period.
So we want to talk to you on this Bears Monday, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Shay, let's open the phone lines on this Bears Monday on ESPN 1000, talking to you about the Bears all day. We finally have a quarterback. We're talking about it with you on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Come on.
That's why I say him in the shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why.
Welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on a Bears Monday. Bears lose to the Dolphins 35-32. We're talking to you about it. We'll hear from Courtney Cronin coming up with the latest from the locker room at 8:35. But now it's time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download that PointsBet updated app. Get the lightning bets, the same game parlays. I'll have one. Shay and I are going to share one tonight. We're both going to play something
make
for the Monday night
money
game.
Together.
We're going to try.
NBA?
I had a rough beat last night. 7-leg parlay, 6-1, because the freaking Chiefs can't cover 5.5. 5.5 I bought it at.
So you're putting a parlay together, football,
yes.
Little NBA?
We're going to do a same game Monday Night Football parlay.
Oh, Monday Night Football.
Okay. There you go. So, again, it'll be a lot of fun. You can do it all on PointsBet. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we feeling?
We're doing good. Give us your thoughts. Give us some shot or no shot options here this morning.
I will, but I just want to say it was nice for the first time in my career in Chicago to watch the Bears look like they have a quarterback. That was very nice. I can't imagine what it's been like all of your lives.
Man, let me tell you something. It's been a long time. Long time coming for an offense to look like this. We mentioned like Kramer. 95 when the offense was, that was under Ron Turner.
Correct.
I'm saying, as the offensive coordinator.
Correct.
Man, that just to see points on the board, not just this game, the last three games, the amount of production we've seen offensively is just unheard of. For this Bears team, you just don't see it. All right, Shane, what do you have?
I'll get to the production the last three games, but I want to start with what we saw yesterday. Justin Fields had the best start of his NFL career with a history-making effort at Soldier Field. He broke the NFL record set by Mike Vick for single-game rushing yards by a quarterback with 178 yards on the ground. He also became the first quarterback in NFL history to rush for over 150 yards, pass for three touchdowns, and run for a touchdown in a single game. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers threw three picks in Detroit, two of them in goal-to-go scenarios. Jared Goff put up a wildly mediocre performance with an interception. Man. And Kirk Cousins completed just 55% of his passes for two touchdowns and a pick in Washington, leaving Fields as the only NFC North quarterback without an interception yesterday. Shot or no shot, Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the NFC North right now.
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. The man who is half naked with the chains on the plane, he's got the better team, does he not?
He does. The Vikings? He's what are they? 7-1.
Yeah, that is the Wonder Bread bland Kirk Cousins.
Right. They are 7-1. They got a really good football team. They've got weapons on their offense like Thielen, Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne, Dalvin Cook.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just a best quarterback in the NFC North right now. If you parachute Justin Fields onto the Vikings.
Well, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like because I need to see him in a prolific passing game.
Yeah, he needs, like Kirk Cousins has had multiple 4,000-yard seasons. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins guy. Maybe I'm just, I don't care for the guy.
Right.
But I thought it was hilarious last night. I sent you guys the video. Mm-hmm. Him on the team plane with cool sunglasses, like, looks like Mr. T's chains all around him, no shirt on, and he's going nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that dude?
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So, here's a push and pull with this, right? We're excited for what we saw from Justin Fields, especially him utilizing his legs. Now, does a passing game come along too, Shay, with that? A prolific passing game and ability to...
So got to prove that.
So now you're Josh Allen, right? If nothing else, if you're Justin in that spot, aren't you?
Yeah, if you get both, then you're Josh Allen. Right now, you're Jalen Hurts. But, I mean, if you think about what we saw from Josh Allen, and this kind of goes to the point of the Packers look terrible, is... When the Bills got good, Josh Allen year three coincided with the Patriots getting regular. So if the Packers now are bad and getting regular, this is the moment. Fields next year three, if you become Josh Allen, if you get that passing game, all of a sudden you're taking advantage of the Packers vacating the division.
So for me, it's a no shot. Cap?
I'm going to say no shot right now. You gotta, like we just said, you got that 7-1 team, just the whole deal. He has to prove he can be in the pocket, progressions, make big throws. We saw Tua do that yesterday. Our guy isn't getting that opportunity for various reasons. He has to prove that. So no shot.
Sure.
All right, we've asked questions kind of all year and even going back to last year about whether Cole Kmet should be the tight end of the future, whether he should remain with this team going forward. Well, he finally had his coming out party yesterday, targeted 6 times, 5 catches, 41 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Much maligned start to Cole Kmet's career, but Luke Getsy clearly was efforting to get him involved, a couple rushes out of some funky gadget plays, and then the 6 targets. So shot or no shot, Kmet proved he can still be the Bears' starting tight end going forward.
That's a shot. Now, again, I don't think he is George Kittle or Tony Gonzalez coming back or Gronk. He's not. He's an outstanding blocker, and he can be better in the pass game if you get some help where Justin has time and where they have their Tyreek Hill or A.J. Brown or Jaylen Watt. It's going to open things up for him. Is he going to be an all-pro? No, probably not. But I do like him on the team.
I say shot. However, as you well know, and I can ask you, Shay, just from a fantasy standpoint, where's Kmet amongst the top tight ends?
I don't know 20? The number off the top of my head, but not 20. He might be like 32-ish, fantasy-wise.
Wouldn't you want to have something a little bit more dynamic in that spot? I'm not trying to push him out the door. I'm just asking, would you like to have a little bit more production out of
sure.
that spot?
Sure. Yeah. But again, I think you'll get more production. He's a little too, what's the right word? Waddle gave me a word. He's too sticky. He sticks to defenders. He doesn't get separation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have more weaponry outside him, then maybe it opens things up for him. Get me a really good receiving tight end and him, and I'm good.
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to put on the old scouting glasses and say he's too light for the position.
No. He's strong. He's big enough. He just doesn't get a lot of separation.
He's good enough for you in the lower half?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. I absolutely think you get him and a receiving type tight end, that can be a dynamic combo.
All right, Shay.
Well, you know, people want that Myers out of Notre Dame. Poles trades back. Maybe you get him late first round.
Notre Dame. Michael Mayer?
Yeah.
Michael Mayer's a good player.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
We got enough Notre Damers. Please.
All right. That's enough.
We've got Kmet. We've got Claypool. No more. Don't soil my favorite NFL team.
Blasted your boy Dabo.
Yeah, they did. 100%. They absolutely did. No doubt about it, they blasted my guy Dabo. It's not like... I like Clemson. I've never hidden that fact. They got pounded. It's not like my life ended. It's not like, oh my God, Abdallah, who probably had his entire weekend ruined because his team got pounded down in
you don't have to do that.
Death Valley.
You don't have to do that.
Made me happy.
You have to do that. And don't do that to Brother Freeman, most handsome man in college football.
I hear he's a great dude. I just don't root for Notre Dame football. I don't like them.
Well, then maybe
more
the Bears
their fan
can,
base.
Maybe the Bears can make Cody happy and go get Brock Bowers out of Georgia.
Take that.
Yeah, we do well with Georgia players on this team.
Take that. I tweeted when the game ended at LSU in Death Valley. Have a good trip. Have a safe trip back to Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Love when they lose.
All right, Shay.
All right, since the offensive disaster on Thursday Night Football against Washington and the mini-bye where Luke Getsy admitted some self-scouting did take place, the Bears have the second highest scoring offense in football. They've scored more points than the Packers and Bucks combined in that span. So my question, if the Bears continue to prove they've found answers on offense, shot or no shot, they can be contenders as soon as next year.
Well, that's a shot with the extra wild card.
Yeah, I guess. They just don't have enough talent, and you can't in one offseason add everything that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a crappy division. It is. Is this who Green Bay is going forward? Are they going backwards? Are they going to have a renaissance next year? Go spend some money and get a receiver.
This NFL.
They don't have money.
Yeah,
Neither do the Rams. And Hoodie tells me every week, hey, the Rams are in on this guy. Hey, the Rams just got Jalen Ramsey. Hey, the Rams just did that.
Yeah, they look good.
Stop with that. They don't have any money because they figure it out. Like the Golden State Warriors.
Same way.
They figure it out.
Way into the luxury tax. They're just trying to win. They're just stockpiling talent. They don't worry about the draft. They just are concerned about getting bodies. They want to get guys that could be difference makers. So, you know, I would say shot only in this regard, Shay, only in this regard. Because of the uncertainty of the National Football League, in 1 year you can turn it around enough to be able to get into the postseason, which means eight or nine wins would not surprise me the way this NFL is. Now, Super Bowl, no, because you still got to build toward that. But and you get the right a couple of playmakers, you get a couple of defensive studs, you got all the salary cap room in the world, and you got draft picks. Why not? Shay.
All right, Tyreek Hill caught 7 passes for 143 yards and a touchdown yesterday against the Bears. God. He's eclipsed 1,100 yards for the season through 9 games. Hill has gone over 125 yards receiving in 5 of his 9 starts. He's currently on pace to tally 2,086 yards this season, a mark that would shatter Calvin Johnson's single-season record by over 100 yards. And by the way, he's on pace to tie that record through 16 games, so it's not even just off the extra game. Shot or no shot, it's time to talk about Tyreek Hill as one of the all-time great receivers.
Yeah, that's a shot. He's tremendous.
All-time great, Cap?
Yes.
You're not prisoner of the moment with that comment?
No. He did it in Kansas City. There's a reason he got paid $30 million a year to go down to Miami for 5 draft picks. He's a great football player. Great. Yeah. Does he have some off-the-field issues? Yes, he has in his past. Lately, he's been a model citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shot.
In the right spot, right? Right place, right spot for him to be able to just be a good citizen, be the guy, and not being overshadowed necessarily by Pat Mahomes.
Well, I mean, he's not being overshadowed by anybody because mm-hmm. he's that good. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill's a great football player.
One of the all-time greats, I will say no shot for now because there's been so many greats. All-time great versus all-time great, I think, is different, Cap.
Agreed. He could be that guy.
Yeah. No question. He could be that guy. Absolutely. I'll say no shot for now, but definitely great. All-time great? Jury's still out. I'm not on first take, so I don't have to say he's an all-time great yet.
Correct.
I don't have to say he's an all-time great. Well, hang on. let's see. Shay, you got one more to shoehorn in there?
It's a quick one, yeah.
Do we still use shoehorns, Cap?
I don't own a shoehorn.
Yeah.
I don't.
So what do we use in that instead of saying shoehorn? Fit in? What do we use instead of using the word shoehorn in one more?
I still say shoehorn, but I've never used a shoehorn.
So you ever had tight shoes?
Yeah, but I've never used one.
You just kind of just put your foot in there, kind of twist it in there?
Yeah.
The shoehorn was always a good thing to have, just in case.
My grandpa always used one, but more because he couldn't like bend down to do it. He wouldn't get back up. So he just had to use the horn so he could reach down and get his foot in there.
Put that on the poll, Charlie, at ESPN 1000. Was a shoehorn just a lazy tool because you didn't want to bend over?
What about...
Yes or no?
Do you carry a handkerchief?
I used to.
I never understood. My mom would say... make sure you have a handkerchief with you. Love you, Mom. Miss you dearly. No. So you blow your nose in it and put it back in your pocket?
It's the way it was back in the day.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I was digging around for it. I usually have a shoehorn on me. Like, I have one at home, and I keep one in my backpack. But I don't know where the one I usually have on me is. I don't want to...
You wear Jordans. Yeah. What are you talking about? You have a shoehorn.
Yeah, don't want to
put dress shoes on.
Don't want to bend the heels.
Put that on the poll, Charlie. Do you use a shoehorn because you're too lazy to bend over and put your shoe on? Yes or no? Back to your calls on the Bears, 312-332-3776, our phone number. Courtney Cronin at 835. The great Alex Brown at 9. All part of the mix on a Bears Monday on Cap and J-Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J-Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Crosstalk Unhinged. Waddle and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko, they're not the boys in blue, but they do work blue when you listen to their show. Not safe for work, but also very entertaining. Crosstalk Unhinged, available on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN.com. She joins us here on Cap and J-Hood as the Bears lose to the Dolphins, 35-32. Good morning, Courtney.
Morning, guys.
Double C.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. It feels like a Bears victory Monday based on the calls and the feeling we had this morning based on what we saw offensively. So, I mean, Justin Fields and that offense, I mean, how much did that surprise you, the way the offense was opened up?
I mean, I'm with you on that feeling because just the vibe that I get from my Twitter mentions right now and just kind of hearing the discourse in this city, it's the progress. This is exactly what people wanted to see. the incremental progress on a week-to-week basis for Justin Fields, and knowing that it is probably going to be tough sledding for a bit for this defense, and there's a multitude of reasons for that. It's not, personally, I think it has nothing to do with not having Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith there right now. I think there's some schematic adjustments that need to take place, but that's neither here nor there when you're talking about Justin Fields and the progress that he's making and showing that he can do enough and even sometimes do more than what's needed to help this team stay in games and you know, create this high-powered unit that didn't exist weeks 1 through 6. So that, to me, was probably the biggest takeaway, in that there's building blocks here that you can be really happy about if you're a Bears fan, because your quarterback is showing he's, you know, unquestionably the top quarterback in that 2021 draft class. And just the turnaround that he's had the last couple weeks, there's a lot that's rooted in the scheme and what Luke Getsy's setting him up to do, and also just the way that they're executing differently than they did before. And I saw Seth Walder from ESPN Analytics tweeted this last night. Fields has the highest QBR this season among NFC North quarterbacks. I don't think anybody would have expected that maybe 4 weeks ago when this team loses to Washington.
So looking at this team and where it's headed, I feel like Hoodie does. Like, it feels like a victory Monday, because if that loss is the difference between getting whoever that receiver or left tackle or run stuffer up front, three technique, whoever that is, I'm okay with it, because this is not a playoff team. How far away do you think, having watched every practice and every game close, how far away are they?
I think they're still a ways away. And I say that knowing the progress that we've seen and knowing offensively how there have been times where Fields had to work with, he's made something out of nothing, and then other times it's looked really good. You can go back to several plays yesterday. I mean, to finally see Cole Kmet become the red zone weapon that they've needed, the element of that offense that's been missing, that's, you know, credit to some really successful play calling and, you know, just great execution by the tight end too. Darnell Mooney on that third down touchdown reception he caught from Justin Fields, perfect route, perfect ball. Like, all things like that are finally coming together, but there still are, you know, some personnel deficiencies, I think, that you have to take a look at. And just knowing where their draft priorities are going to be, what their free agency priorities are going to be on both sides of the ball, to me, it starts up front, both offensive and defensive lines. That's probably where the focus is going to be. If you're thinking about, like, the first round right now, and I know a lot of people were making a big deal out of Ryan Poles being at Northwestern, Ohio State over the weekend, I don't really think it was for C.J. Stroud. I think it was for the left tackle for Northwestern, potentially keeping an eye on a prospect like that.
Skoronic.
Forward and having Skoronsky. Somebody that you could – and what was that?
Skoronsky, right? You're talking
yes,
about
– Yeah, exactly. And having somebody like that in the fold that could be a 10-year player for you, like, that's where the priorities need to go from here on out, as they start to figure out, okay – they can get more pieces around Fields this way and also up front on defense, because they can't pressure the quarterback. Yes, some of that has to do with personnel issues. I think more of it, upon watching this thing back, is schematic more than anything else. But that should give them at least a blueprint. Like, they know what they're doing now the next 8 games. Like, you know, everyone's auditioning for a job. I think that's not hyperbolic to say whatsoever, but you've started to figure out the answers and the pieces that you're going to carry over to next year and then beyond. It's just filling out the rest of those. It's going to be an evaluation process the next 2 months.
Courtney, when you talk to Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator for the Bears, I wonder what's his letter grade for Gordon and Brisker and how mm-hmm. they've developed. What's his comments on how they developed in the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the last couple weeks. You know, I know Kyler Gordon had a tough day yesterday, and that's a tough matchup that he drew, but I think he's got to play better. And a lot of that has to do just with maybe timing things better. Just upon rewatching the game a little bit this morning, felt like there were some times where he got lost in the back end. And, of course, the speed of Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill is going to do that to you. But, you know, Brisker's kind of been more level throughout this season, and I know that the New England games where the two of them made their hay with their first interceptions each, and they've quieted down a little bit since then. But the way that the secondary yesterday kept getting attacked, I mean, some of that had to do just with the way that schematically what they were calling, they played off on Tyreek Hill a bunch. Like, so they were trying to give him a cushion to mitigate the speed element, and it ended up blowing up in their face. So I don't know if all of that can be on, you know, some of that's on coaching, some of that's on the scheme. But as far as Brisker and Gordon have gone, I think that they've panned, like, yes, there's going to be rough moments for any rookie. But those two picks have panned out the way that the Bears had hoped for a secondary that at this point last year was not very good. Like, we're not talking about the pass defense by and large this season as being the biggest struggle for this Bears team. I think the pass rush and the lack of pressure they get on opposing quarterbacks, a far bigger issue. And the run defense, which, you know, there were moments yesterday where it looked a little bit better. But like that, those are more the glaring issues because the pass defense has been remedied in a lot of different ways by the additions that they have with the two rookies back there.
In terms of looking at this matchup now coming up with the Detroit Lions, I know the Lions aren't a great football team, but they do have some pieces on that team. What concerns you about what the way the Bears are playing right now that may not be sustainable for the rest of this season? They still don't have great receivers. They still can't protect them in the pocket.
Yeah, and I mean, I know any time a quarterback takes off and you're always worried about hits and how sustainable that is, the caveat is he's probably going to get hit because of the pass protection. What's the harm in putting him on the run like that? And he actually does seem to avoid, I mean, he didn't get hit all that much when he was running yesterday that maybe we expected, but that's where my head naturally goes when we're thinking about the sustainability of that and the livelihood of your quarterback and making sure he's going to be available for all the games because you need him. I mean, he's somebody who can do so much damage on third down. I mean, that's where he converted 6 third downs for a first down yesterday, 7 attempts, 111 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's impressive stuff. And he can make he's the one making plays when stuff breaks down because you're right. Like, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, that fourth down play, I don't think that was a great play design. But, like, you know, make a play. Go catch that ball. I mean, there was the 3rd and 14 incomplete to N'Keal Harry, too. I mean, there certainly is, you know, there's a lot left to be desired with their receivers. And so, yeah, to your point, Cap, I think that that is not going to be a consistent thing on a week-to-week basis. You will have some rough moments, but I think for Fields and what we've seen with this offensive line, the pass protection, he was only pressured on like 10 of his, you know, 10 of his dropbacks yesterday, which was a low number for him because they're doing more to scheme him away from pressure, moving the pocket. I'd like to see that trend continue because it's really the only way until you start getting better offensive linemen in the fold for them to be able to make sure he stays upright and isn't taking hits unnecessarily.
Any injuries?
Well, we know with a Kendall Vildor injury, he had an ankle. He only played 2 snaps. It's one to monitor. I think Jalen Jones did okay. Like, nothing that really is jumping out to me right now in place of him. But that was probably the bigger one. I know Kari Blasingame looked like he got a little shaken up in the second half, but I think he was okay towards the end. So nothing major, it sounds like, for the Bears coming out of this one.
It's amazing. You have covered a football team that's been relatively injury-free. Like, no major injuries, right?
No, I mean, it's pretty nuts because you think to, you know, I remember seeing those injury reports coming off of the long stretch that they had before the New England game where they had no one on the injury report. And that's jarring to me. And it is kind of interesting because every time we'll talk to Justin Fields about, you know, why he went to the medical tent in Dallas, oh, well, I re-injured my hip or something like that. I'm like, well, you didn't show up in the injury report. So, like, was it just not reported? Was it not enough? Was it just, like, you know, something that was lingering? Like, but it's amazing that he's maintained his health and I mean, he's a tough dude, and nobody's ever questioned that whatsoever. It's just crazy to think about a guy who, you know, is such a physical specimen that he doesn't get hurt at some point when he's running and taking hits and, you know, when he's behind his offensive line and taking hits. I mean, he must have the secret sauce because I don't know how he doesn't get injured. A lot of times I think there's moments where you're watching this game and saying, man, I hope that he can make it out, you know, without seeing the injury tent again, and he somehow does.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you, Double C.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com.
He's got that invisible juice. Isn't that what they said in Any Given Sunday?
Yes, the Invisible Juice.
What was the name of that quarterback? Steeman Willie Beeman.
Yes.
I've got that Invisible Juice, and then his teammates let him lay on the ground in the rain. I'll never forget it.
Courtney's reports here on Cap and Jehuda brought to you by Wintrust Bank. Grab a stick, Cap. Grab a stick, because I want you to poke the ribs of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. See if it's really dead. Next.
You got it.
You need more than 29 to beat the Dolphins?
You might.
Holy bleep.
I'm going to take the Bears to cover the number of 5, but I don't think they win the football game.
It's probably going to be more of a shootout than most people would expect.
Mostert, touchdown. And the Bears let that Miami offense go right through him on a long drive, 75 yards, 1 yard touchdown plunge. Tagovailoa has it to the end zone, touchdown. Tyreek Hill, we just told you he's only been targeted once in the red zone all year. He just caught one right there in a 3 yard touchdown reception. Flip it, baby. Miami battling wind. Oh, it's blocked. It was blocked on the play. Phillips got it. Picked up Van Ginkle, got it for the touchdown. Andrew Van Ginkle on the block punt by Phillips. Shell the block and go. Oh, he's got him. It's Hill. He's going to fly down the sideline and inside the 20.
How could you possibly have fun like this?
The ball at the left tackle, time for Fields. Now he'll accelerate to get the first down and break tackles, and he's off to the races. Oh, he got a terrific block down there by Mooney. He's in for 6. 61-yard touchdown run by the quarterback, Justin Fields.
A field need the main first need.
Ow! At 4:23, day 25, 3rd and 1. Here comes Fields, getting a block from Pettis, and that opens the door. And he's deep in Miami territory, out of bounds about the Dolphin 31. Fake, Fields on the fly, Fields to the 5. It'll be goal to go as he races his way to the 5. First and goal. The fake and a good one to the end zone. Coming touchdown. His second today. 4 yard touchdown pass.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Messy pocket going deep in, looking for Claypool, broken up.
That's got to be.
And.
There's
no, there's
so
flag, no flag.
I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful. I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful.
And welcome in on a Bears Monday. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you, and we got Alex Brown. The great Alex Brown joins us here from our family here at ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago. Bears lose against the Dolphins 35-32.
Going out of the back.
Hello, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Where are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little upset right now, though. A little upset.
What are you mad at?
Because, I mean, we did give up 400 yards and 35 points yesterday, and everybody seems super excited about, super excited today, which I guess we should be, but we should bring it down a little bit because our defense is playing like trash right now.
Well, we can start right there because that's how I led off the show this morning. I was not happy about how much yardage and how Waddle and Hill were able to just run all over the field. Where did you see the breakdowns the most on this Bears defense yesterday?
Well, it started when those guys hit that 4-2, 4-3 area. Because when you go into a game and you're trying to match two guys that run sub 4-3-5, and it's like, well, you don't want them to get behind you because if they do, then they're gone, right? So you try to give a little bit, and then they just dink and dunk you. And if the quarterback is being accurate, which Tua was, then they're just going to methodically move down the field. And then as you kind of creep up and try to press them a little bit, you start to see those big plays happen. So it's almost like whatever you do, you're wrong. So it was just tough. It was just tough to watch. I think with the offense doing what they were doing, trying to keep us in the game, trying to outscore this team, but I think that was the thought coming into this game, that we would have to outscore them. And the fact that it came down to a blocked punt for a touchdown that ended up being the deciding factor, just, I mean, that doesn't sit well with me.
AB, we watch the game together as we do every week. If I told you Justin plays like this for the large majority of the games going forward, and the Bears finish at 5-12, but Justin looks like, yep, we got a quarterback, is the season a success?
Well, if you tell me he's going to do this right here for the rest of the year, I'm going to go ahead and offer him an 8-year, $160 million contract. Dude, I'm going to pull Atlanta Braves and sign him early, right? But, hell yes, a success, man. Like, it means that Luke Getsy and that offensive staff has figured out what works best for him. And now what we've been lacking for some time is an identity and a system that we can start to put pieces on to make that system run better. I think having an offensive line where we don't have to take out the dropback passes in the pocket, which I think he can throw from the pocket. It's just he can't be protected right now from the pocket, so he can't throw because he is getting hit every time or getting sacked or pressured in some sense. So you don't want him in the pocket. You want to get him outside of the pocket. But if we can start adding those pieces moving forward, yes, absolutely. It's going to be a super exciting team to watch, an explosive offense. You threw a number one in there, and now the guy Mooney, who you wanted to be, not you in particular, Cap, but who people wanted to be the number one in Mooney at the beginning of the season, now he's your third receiver. That just makes this offense go. It makes it a lot more explosive and gives Justin a lot of toys to play with.
So how would you assess the play from Gordon and Brisker in the secondary? Because Eddie Jackson is supposed to be the anchor there. He got screwed on the call, but there's no question. But how would you assess what happened? Because as Cap and I have been talking about, what an education they got from dealing with Hill and Waddle and Tua getting the ball out quickly.
I think it's growing pains. That's what it is. It's understanding how you play a team that is built around speed like this team. So it's just one of those games where you come in and they haven't been put in this situation yet. They've been put in a situation where they had to face a guy like Justin Jefferson. But he's not Tyreek Hill. He's not Waddle. And then when you have two of them, it's like, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. Like, what's going on? Because we can't press him, but if you press him, you see when you give – if you're not giving him 10 yards or 12 yards, he's running by you. You're just hoping Tua doesn't see him, because he's that fast, both of them. So it's a learning experience as we get better guys. And it's not just a secondary. We have to get pressure. A lot of times I saw yesterday where that pocket was clean for Tua. We cannot have a clean pocket for a team like that that has those type of guys. So going into a game like that next time, I would hope the coaches are really harping on that front four really getting after the quarterback, because we need to help our secondary out.
Alex, in terms of the ability to continue to run the football like the Bears are doing, and we're not getting huge productivity from the running backs, so to speak, yesterday. It's on Justin. A lot of that is he knows how to make people miss. How much of what we're seeing, in your opinion, is sustainable the rest of the season until they finally go get better linemen and better receivers?
Well, it's what they do. I mean, it's what Justin does. This is a part of his game. It's not like he's Tom Brady out there and he ran for 101 yards yesterday, you know? It's like, or he ran for 170 and he's Tom Brady. Well, that would be an anomaly, right? It's something that you don't see very often, but this is a part of Justin's game, him being able to tuck the ball and run, being able to design run plays for him. Once you get that, those offensive pieces around him, and he just becomes more explosive, what it makes the defense does. Like what we saw late in that game, you start to see spies. You start to see guys that the defense, it puts them in a situation that they're not comfortable with. So they're not comfortable with having a spy because they don't have to do it every week. So this is something new that the defense has to prepare for when playing Justin. It gives them, it gives Justin and the offensive coaches an opportunity to get bigger plays down the field.
Coach Brown, who are you cutting from the Bears today?
Excuse me. I am absolutely. If you can't catch the ball and you're a receiver, I'm getting rid of you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I need you to catch the football. So, guys that can't catch, you got one more week. All right.
Oh, you're gonna give St. Brown another week?
Everything positive. You know what? I'm gonna keep it positive because the offense looked really good. I don't want to snatch anybody away from that just yet. But if you go out and show me something, the same thing, it starts to become my fault because I'm the coach and I keep putting you out there knowing that you can't do it. So this is your last chance. This is it.
How about that?
So,
yeah, I would cut his ass this morning.
That's enough of that, Alex.
Go on.
Alex, we're cutting St. Brown today because fourth down, big spot. You just got to catch the football. That game, listen, whether the win is important to Bears fans or the organization or not, you had a chance to win that ball game yesterday. And St. Brown in a big spot dropped it in the fourth down.
Well, St. Brown in a big spot dropped the ball. True enough. But yesterday, I would say Mooney, you got Claypool, and you got a guy in Cole Kmet who is having a hell of a day. Why are those three guys you're trying to go to before going to St. Brown? You can't tell me all three of those guys are covered. So, like, that's a question in itself for me. Why are we throwing the ball to him? Why didn't we put the ball to a Mooney, to Claypool? Cole Kmet had a great day yesterday. Why are we targeting those guys for that biggest play of the game? So I would look at Luke Getsy and those guys, but I'm trying to be positive here. Even though we gave up 35 and all these yards, we get on defense. QB1 looks great, man. He looks great, and it is exciting to watch him. I'm so glad for the last 3 weeks they figured it out. I know Cap is the one to bring this up. And I love you, Cap. But I don't care if it's the quarterback running. I don't care if it's the running backs running. We are at 4 games in a row, 200-plus yards rushing, and I'm taking it.
Let me just tell you this. You can't tell me as a Bear, and that's what you are in your blood, a Bear.
And a saint.
Mm-hmm. He's not a saint. He's a Gator and a Bear. Uh-huh. You can't tell me you're not taking joy like I am this morning watching the Packers flail around in the fetal position.
Oh, without question. Without question. Watching it yesterday and seeing things that I am not accustomed to seeing and watching Aaron Rodgers throw interceptions, period, let alone throwing them while in the red zone. It was a beautiful thing to watch.
Packers are amazing. In hospice, buddy.
Yes, they are. I love it. We found our quarterback, and they're struggling. I love it.
It's the best.
Alex, we appreciate the scrimmage we had a couple of weeks ago against you as we beat Tennessee, Georgia. So we appreciate that scrimmage a couple of weeks ago.
You know what? Y'all are something else. Hey, the Georgia Bulldogs are for real, man. Uh-huh. You'll never hear me say it again.
Yeah.
They are for real.
Okay, and by the way, nice win against Texas A&M. Very nice.
Thank
on
you.
The road.
Thank
very
you.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. AR-15. Let's go.
Wow. Unbelievable. Anthony Richardson.
He played well. Played well. I liked
it. Yes, he did.
Hey, man, have a good week.
Oh, man. Hey, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
It is Alex Brown.
He's another five.
It's $5.
Yeah, cough like 5 times.
Flight.
Bernie's book bank.
Yeah, well, the flight.
Yes.
He's on the plane. He's got that cough of the plane, probably.
He got back last night. He had a good night's rest. Yeah.
$5 at Bernie'sBookBank.org. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I will take your phone calls on this Bears Monday. It's your turn. You heard from Alex Brown, his thoughts. Now your thoughts. The Bears lose. What stood out most about Justin Fields' record day as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears? We're talking about it with you on Cap and J-Hood.